I'm Caleb Gardner, your music director here at the Classical Station. Thank you for listening to Preview. I recently had the privilege of speaking with Michelle DeRusso, the associate conductor of the North Carolina Symphony. In addition to her regular performances, Michelle is active in the teaching and community initiatives of the symphony. She's also the co-founder of the organization Girls Who Conduct, which seeks to bridge the gap between men and women in the conducting field. We spoke from the symphony's headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina. Do you think that your beginning in show business from a young age influenced the way you think about classical music and your audience?
I think it is different in the United States in the way that classical music is approached, and especially depending on the position you have, because if you're the assistant conductor of an orchestra, you have certain responsibilities, artistically speaking, that are different than the music director. The music director would take care mostly of the subscription concerts. As an assistant, you do most of the audience engagement concerts. You take care of the educational shows, maybe you'll do some pops concerts, then family concerts or young person concerts. I believe those have way more audience engagement than if you're just doing a standard classical concert. The audience is there with a different purpose, and I think you need to provide that entertainment. And that's where I believe that having been a performer in musical theater really gives me an advantage in knowing how to relate to that audience, how to talk, to feel comfortable doing those things. In November, I did a Harry Potter show. Luckily, this organization lets me do a lot of really fun projects that I create myself. I curate my scripts and I come up with a lot of ideas. They also let me do as much as I want to do. So if I don't feel comfortable maybe acting so much, they're fine with that as well. With the Harry Potter show in particular, I dressed up as I was getting into Hogwarts, right? And I had to act and I tied in all the pieces, just telling the story that I was upset I hadn't gotten into Hogwarts. And I thought, you know, as a conductor, I make magic happen in some ways. And how come I hadn't gotten the letter? And so that's how the show developed. It's not as nerve-wracking to me because I've been a performer and an actor and a singer and a dancer. In that sense, I think I have a huge advantage of that. A lot of conductors don't.
Most people who attend a performance see that tiny fraction of what's completed, which happens during the performance itself. Can you take us from the decision? This is the piece that we're playing in X amount of months. What happens from that point to the baton?
It takes a lot of work, actually. We have a lot of repertoire that we're learning and going through each week. Sometimes we have two different programs in 1 week, and that's a lot of music. I'm talking 3-4 hours of music, different music every week. I have to be very organized on when I start studying and what music will require a bit more time and what less. I usually try to sit at the piano and play the parts, figure out the harmonies. I try to find the spots that I know will be challenging for the orchestra in advance so that I can plan on keeping an extra ear on those things. Then I'm marking my scores. That takes a long time, which is the part I hate the most because it takes forever. The biggest thing when I have very little time is making sure I'm organized in the score. I know how the phrases go and how I want them to go. I mark this thing that we call hypermeter, which is you group the measures by however many measures it works in the phrase. And then I mark some colors, like dynamics to remember, some things that are unexpected and I keep missing. It's all about making decisions, right? What kind of dynamic, in what way, what kind of articulation, is there anything I want to change, what kind of phrasing I want in this melody or in this counter melody. So it's paying attention to all the details. I think that by the end of the process, you go out of it a bit macro again and analyze where's the climax, where are you heading, what's the direction. The last thing we do is figure out gesture-wise what we're going to do in what spots, and which people think probably it's all the other way around. I also research the history of the piece. I analyze the form, the harmony, the composer. And after all of that is done, then we go to rehearsal. And then even though you have prepared very much, like being in the rehearsal in the moment, sometimes there's things that go differently, spots that are difficult for the orchestra you didn't expect they would be, and they're not the ones you thought. So you have to be very fast on your feet.
Not too long ago, I interviewed Maestro Prieto, he talked a lot about the North Carolina Symphony as an educational force, and I know that the symphony takes its role as an educational force very seriously. So could you tell us about your role in the community and educational work of the symphony, and about the mission of your organization, which is Girls Who Conduct?
We have curriculum design concert that we take to schools, and schools come to our concert halls. Not only we perform in our concert hall in May Monday Hall, but we go around the states performing the educational concert. Actually, I curate the programming and I have my own script, right, of how I teach the different elements that make music music, and I introduce the different families of instruments. So there is quite a structure for it. But then when I'm thinking about the repertoire, I'm thinking about what are the things that if I had one kid that is going to listen to for one time only in their lives, what is it that I think would catch their attention, or they would like to listen again, or would spark that interest or curiosity in what we do? And so I keep a mix of pieces of repertoire that I think it's important for them to listen to. They love Mozart, actually. I think it's really funny that they do. And I usually just put some Beethoven, but then I want them to relate to the music. We do always a piece by our composer in residence, Anthony Kelly. And so knowing that, wow, there's someone that is from North Carolina like me and he composed a piece and we're playing it, I think that's a really cool idea. And then I like to talk about my background. So I usually include a Latin American piece and ask them how many of you here speak Spanish, which surprisingly half of them raise their hands. So it's a nice way to connect with them. And I want them to feel like they're being a part of it. I think it's a lot of fun that I get to curate that concert and pick all the pieces, then see what effect that it has on them and change whatever I thought didn't work as well from one year to the next one. With Girls Who Conduct, it's basically an organization we put together with other female conductors during the pandemic because we were isolated, bored, we were not performing, and it was the perfect time to start something like this. It just comes from the frustration and disappointment that we've all experienced of the bias that there is still with our gender doing leadership positions. We started thinking what we would have liked to have had that would have made us more confident or stronger in pursuing this career. And although college was very crucial for all of us, we thought that if someone had empowered us in thinking that we could be conductors when we were in our teenage years, that would have made the biggest difference. And so that's why we created this organization, which is focused on helping and mentoring girls that are going through high school or about to start college or starting college, and they have curiosity about conducting. And so we do these mentorship programs online where we talk about all aspects of the career, how to develop your curriculum, but also how to study, how to score study, what does the profession really involve, what are the paths you can take, because if you had all that information, it's easier to make decisions in the future.
Well, thank you for your thoughtful answers and for the work that you do in the North Carolina Symphony and in the community. And it was a real pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you for tuning in to Preview. I'm Caleb Gardner. Programs like these are made possible by your generous support. Please come visit us at theclassicalstation.org.